we don't have any noise or anything.
Hang on. Here we go.
TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL.
Stories of that game and what happened in the clubhouse is just fantastic. There's no game that can bleep you like this one.
It's Royce on Baseball.
Let's go here. Well, I spent a very peaceful day at Target Field yesterday while the Vikings were opening the season. And I did feel, as I read the reports, a little misled on the greatness of Cameron Dantzler earlier.
Oh, man.
Because the first 10 days of training camp, he was perhaps the finest cornerback in Viking history.
Well,
wasn't he
doing Mr. Mankato? Are we still doing that?
He would have been Mr. Mankato even if they never even saw Mankato this year. He was definitely Mr. Mankato. And he was Mr. Mankato like after 72 hours.
Oh, they loved him. Yeah.
And apparently he didn't get very close to the guys he was defending yesterday. But then you take a bunch of cornerbacks who haven't played and don't put any pass rush on one of the five greatest quarterbacks in NFL history, bad things are going to happen, even if he does only have one receiver.
Pat, I know how much you love Rodgers strictly because of his level of agitation.
Yes, he loves to agitate.
He loves to agitate, which is, I know, that has a little soft spot in your heart. Yesterday, he lines up the formation and whatever. Three defensive backs ran into each other, and you could see him laughing.
Oh, as they were trying to shift.
Oh, yeah. He just kind of gave it the... Yeah.
And he was just funning with us to get us to jump off sides every once in a while.
Yeah.
With no crowd noise, he could do it. He could get our dummies.
I don't think...
Two of them came on the first one, right? Two of them jumped off sides.
And I thought this would never happen if there was a crowd. You know, that wouldn't have happened with the road team.
Allegedly it would have never happened, but... But I'll tell you one thing.
What's that, sir?
Kirk Cousins.
Oof.
Garbage time Hall of Fame.
No question.
No, he's on the watch list, that's for sure.
He's the first ballot.
Garbage time Hall of Fame. He's fantastic. He's because they've stopped rushing him, so therefore he can just stand there.
Well, I had threw out a tweet basically saying that here come the garbage time stats for the Cousins defenders, and I got ripped with, well, he's not playing defense. They were on the field the whole game. That's why they were giving up so many yards.
No first down. But anyway.
Anyway, baseball.
It was enjoyable at Target Field. As it wasn't that enjoyable, by the way. 3 hours and 43 minutes.
Both those games took forever on Saturday and Sunday.
Cody Stashek, I don't know what happened to him, but he suddenly became 40 seconds between pitches. I think he just realized he didn't have anything and was trying to think of something. And then here comes Sergio, and he's been banned by his manager from acting like a jackass.
Thank God.
So he's throwing a pitch and walking around the mound. He took 40 seconds between pitches. As I said, the Vikings had the ball for 19 minutes. The Twins had the ball for 2.5 hours. They were unbelievable. The last two innings, they had the ball for 35 minutes.
I missed it. I didn't know Rocco had chided young Sergio.
Yes.
Which is, by the way, that was necessary because he was getting out of hand.
Yeah, well, and you could see that baseball suspended him and not Lindor. They fined Lindor probably $2,500 or something.
Right.
But, he's an idiot. But... you know, I guess he was all he did was point to the sky yesterday when he finally got the third out instead of jump up and jump around. But Rocco is that ain't Rocco. Well, that's as blatant as Rocco will get. That's not us. That's not the way we do things. So and Nelson Cruz wanted to kill him.
Oh, really?
Because they all love Lindor, right?
Sure.
Because he's like a hell of a guy, nice guy. Cruz and
him are buddies.
You saw Gonzalez and Marwin and who were the other guys went over and Sano went over and said, "You okay? You're gonna be okay here."
Yeah.
So they were his Latin American teammates were supporting Lindor and not him. That tells you how out of touch Sergio was.
Well, and not to mention, you know, to have a little flair and a little fun. Yes, okay, that's fine. But Sergio, you're getting batters out with slop. It's not like you're going up there and dominating.
And why would you be mad at Lindor when you pop him up on a slider and he smiles at you like, okay, you got away with that one. And that you take that as offensive?
Yeah.
You know, you're an idiot.
Yeah, and it's not like it's some kid that got called up from... He's an all-star player and probably on a path to becoming a Hall of Famer.
Yes,
he's a great
ball player. He basically was saying, man, I should have hit that pitch, but you got me out. It wasn't, you know, they had a little run-in in Cleveland, too, the Indians and Romo. But anyhow, they end up sweeping them. And I really, even though he didn't get five yesterday, I thought early on Pineda threw the ball great. I think I really like the stuff he's throwing right now. He's throwing hard, you know, hard enough, and his slider was really good to start with yesterday. They had a, you know, they looped a couple into the outfield and then rolled a couple through. But I think I said this last week, the best thing that happened to this team in 10 days is Pineda pitching and Donaldson playing third base.
For sure.
All of a sudden they look like...
Because I didn't check in until later in the game because I was fixated on the purple. But was it a conditioning thing that they took him out, or was he starting to get hit a little bit?
He was. He was having a hard time getting through the fifth. He was control. He was losing a little bit of his control. But, he was up. He was almost 100 pitches.
Oh, he was. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And he threw 100 and... Plus, they pushed him last time, right? 106 or something?
Sure.
They pushed him hard last time for a guy who hasn't pitched. But suddenly, you know, Maeda was wonderful on Friday night.
Right.
Oh, man, he was good. His breaking ball was just... I know the bottom half of that Cleveland lineup sucks, but he was just... The ball was coming out of his hand, I'll tell you that.
Where's it supposed to come out?
And then and Berríos was good enough on Saturday, so their pitching looked pretty good.
So we
Rich Hill on Saturday.
Oh yeah, because Berríos is throwing tonight.
Yeah. Rich Hill slopping up that curveball, and he struck out 7 and 5. But when he goes out there, all you want is 5.
Right.
Right. Yes. I mean, if you can get 5 out of him.
And you know what? I want Rich Hill thrown against Cleveland, not against the White Sox.
Yes.
I want him facing that lineup, not in Chicago.
All right, the Whiteys, what is it? They've won, 16 out of 17, something?
Right?
They're on some rampage here.
Wow.
But here's the number one stat. I heard Atterbury say this yesterday, and I checked. The White Sox finished the season yesterday with another win over Guardy's Tigers. You know what's a bad 3-day period?
What's that?
When you get beat 14-0 and it's the second worst shutout loss in 3 days. They got beat 19-0 Thursday and 14-0 Saturday. That's it. When you got a 3-day period when 14-0 is not your worst loss, your worst shutout loss, that's bad.
But, and do you know who got the win in that game? The 14-0 game.
No.
That Lopez kid from the White Sox, that the Twins were batting around twice this year.
Had some moments for him about 2 years ago, but he's been terrible.
But he shut him out.
But the White Sox finished the year 18-2 against the Royals. 18-2 against the Royals and the Tigers.
Wow.
Royals and the Tigers. Twins, we just figured it out. 5-5 against the Royals, 4-4 against the Tigers with 2 left. So the Twins are 9-9 against those teams, and the Whiteys are 18-2. And if you want to know, it's a pretty much a miracle the Twins are only, one game behind them?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, when you consider that against the fourth. By the way, the Royals have won 6 or 7 in a row. But when you consider that one team is 18-2 against the bottom of the division and the other team's 9-9. Now, the Twins did that last year. They beat up the bottom three. I think they were 15-4 against the Tigers and 14-5 against the other two last year.
Well, because remember, they were playing the Tribe right after the trading deadline, and that's when did Cleveland get into first place, or they got close?
Yeah, Cleveland passed them one day.
We were going nuts. Like, you didn't make any moves, and now you're going to lose the division.
Then they ended up breezing. But and they also are 3-1. So against the Pirates, the Royals and the Tigers, they are 21-3. The White Sox.
Oof. Duh.
So but hey, a lot of us were on the Whiteys bandwagon
when
the year started,
and
they started off poorly, And people are, they're not ready yet. That's a good lineup, man.
But I did see Keuchel's on the IL, not the DL, but the IL.
Didn't they
have another injury, too, that I saw over the weekend?
Somebody else get
hurt? I can't remember.
Tim Anderson, by the way, is going to win two straight batting titles. How about that?
He can hit.
4 years ago, he was hitting .220.
Right.
So show some patience, folks, when the guy's got talent.
This is a four-game set, right?
Yes, four games, okay. And then the Cubbies for three. This is a tough week. And now, I don't know what... Eddie Rosario.
I knew. I could just tell by your facial expression
that's where we were going. Eddie Rosario is Space Mountain. He's Space Mountain. Because Space Mountain is basically craziness in the dark, right?
Right.
You can't. It's like crazy stuff in the dark. Have you been on Space Mountain?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This guy's Space Mountain. Saturday. Is it Saturday?
Saturday he hit the big home run.
Yeah. Saturday, he makes one of the dumbest throws to a base and hit. He got no chance to throw the guy out. He lets everybody move up, runs. Just doesn't even take a peek. And then he does all his stupid stuff. And then he comes up and makes sure you're going to win the game by hitting the two-run homer, right? It's 5-4.
And destroyed that.
Yeah, right off the bat, boom. And then he hits a home run. You say, okay. Well, the other night, same thing. Absolute boneheaded play. I can't remember what it was. And he hit the ball down the first base line. Hit the ball, hit the bag, went in the corner. Three bases. He emptied the bases, right?
It was a double, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a double, but then he got thrown out running to third.
That's right.
For no reason.
Right.
For no reason.
I forget who said this. I think it might have been Bonus. It was either Bonus or Gleeman. I can't remember, but they said, that right there, folks, is the Eddie Rosario hat trick.
Yeah, the Eddie Rosario hat trick.
Threw it to the wrong base, got thrown on the base pass, and hit a home run.
And but now, yesterday.
Yes.
The guy standing to your left, Byron Buxton, is the widest ranging center fielder since Willie Mays. Okay? Willie Mays, by the way, Albert Pujols caught him or passed him yesterday, but that's a pretty good guy to catch in home runs. But he's standing there and there's a ball in the left center that there's a 100% chance he's going to get to.
Correct.
And catch.
Yes.
And Eddie suddenly runs over there. He runs like a maniac right at him. And then Buxton's going to catch the ball, and he reaches up and gets his arm caught on his chest and does something to his wrist or arm. And then he hits the ground like he's going to be out for life. Look, hit the ground like go, Gomez. When that ball's in the air, go run to the dugout, for God's sakes, or go back up. Backup center field.
He should take a note from Eloy Jimenez. When Robert's going to get it, Eloy don't move.
No. But Eddie, so then Buxton dives later, and he's down there looking like he's got a bad wrist too, but I guess he's okay. But, you got to have a thought, right? Take that. Take that 4 seconds before the pitch is thrown to say, okay, what am I going to do if the ball's hit here? You can't wait until it's on the ground to make your decision, right? You gotta know when you're running after it.
By the way, speaking of Buxton, he's got 8 home runs in 30
games.
Yes,
he does. He's less than 100 at bats, I think.
He's hitting what? He's close to .250? We'll take that, won't we?
Well, oh, God, yes. I keep saying they're 25% better when he plays.
Oh, no question.
Yeah, because they're 50% better in the field, and they're 10-15%. He's their only speed, and he's the guy that takes them from a minus defense, minus fielding to plus fielding as a team because he makes Kepler better. He can't make Eddie better. I mean, Eddie, he should make Eddie better, but he doesn't because Eddie's an idiot. But lovable idiot.
Is there less?
Who's the lovable idiot of all time?
Ooh, Eddie's up there.
Eddie is. Yeah, he's a lovable idiot. That's for sure.
There is what? Less than a 5% chance he's with the club next year?
Well, with with two other left-handed hitting outfielders, with the two best prospects they have, I think they're both better prospects than Royce Lewis. More sure things because of their swings and the way they can hit. Larnick and Kirilloff, they're both corner outfielders who are left-handed hitters. So, yeah, I don't think there's much chance at all he'll be back. And the trouble is, people are going to be disappointed with what they get for him. But he's going to be a free agent. He's making $7 already, although he didn't get his money because of the 60-game thing. And, you know, people have scouts, and they tell you he's going to drive people crazy. Although I did hear MLB the other night, they were talking about some new guy. I can't remember for which team, but he's kind of come in and made an impact. And I gave him rookie the last month or so.
Okay.
But he's a swing at everything guy.
Okay.
You know? And they said, well, he's like Eddie Rosario. You can throw the ball any place near the strike zone, and he can hit it high, he can hit it low, he can hit it inside, he can hit it outside. He's like, and that was the comparable they had on him was Rosario.
So, in a complimentary way.
Yeah, in a complimentary way. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he's got the best hands since Carew, really. The fantastic hands, but, you know, Rodney generally, you know, would have a thought before the play.
Great hands, no brain.
Yeah. Now, and, he's just goofy. I mean, where are you going? But Cavage, you know, I did a piece on Eddie before the season started, and Cavage said all his mistakes are made out of aggressiveness. He says he has no fear of making mistakes.
Sure. Clearly.
And he said, I was a guy who always played fearing making mistakes. He says, my mistakes were being fearing making mistakes. Now, he didn't have the speed to take an extra base, but I'm not going to sway, you know, I think I'll take the walk here instead of, you know.
Instead of trying to hit a home run.
Right. And he said, Eddie's mistakes, Eddie has a better way of making mistakes than I did. He said, it's more, you know, it's more successful to make mistakes out of aggressiveness because he always wants that extra 90 feet so he can score a run.
Yeah.
You know.
But
unfortunately, they occasionally are rally killers. So.
Right. Well, and the thing is with him, the frustrating part is he is the guy come postseason when it really matters in a clutch situation. He's the guy that can hit one in the seats for a 3-run homer. Because they're they're not going to pitch to Cruz in a spot that matters in the postseason. They're not going to pitch to him unless they have to. Mm-hmm. And Eddie's the guy that can come up there and kill you for making a mistake.
You know what else hasn't? You know, I think Eddie's concentration could be a little wavered a little because when the fellas are on the road, they don't want them leaving the hotel.
Sure,
you know they want them to stay in a confined area and. I don't think confined area has ever been Eddie's strong point.
No, I think
I think he enjoys life, and as they fear the pandemic, I got a hunch they might have a security guard outside on Eddie's floor.
What's your job? I'm Eddie's watchdog.
Yeah, that's right, Eddie. No, here you. The hotel bar is fine, Eddie. Have a drink there, okay. You know, over in that corner by yourself. So
you're not allowed to leave.
But I don't know. 30-18, it's hard to complain.
Considering
the injuries they have.
Well, considering 2 weeks ago, I mean, they were hovering around 500.
Yeah, I think the worst it ever got was 4-over. Was it 4?
Yeah.
No, did they ever get to 4-over? Well, they won 9 out of 11, I think, something like that. But... now you worry about, you know, Arise has got the hip, so Gonzalez has got to play second. Kepler's back. It's time for him to do something.
Yeah.
He's hitting .215 or something.
Right.
And
Rooker is out for the year?
Because
he broke his wrist, right?
If you're going to break your on a changeup, but he got a forearm, I think.
Okay.
But he's going to have a screw put in.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, he looked like he can You know, they need a right-handed hitting outfielder, and he looked like, I think he probably got himself back on the radar. They would throw him, they would put him in a trade, but I don't think they're anxious to get rid of him anymore.
And I don't think we'd be worried about Brent colliding with Buxton, because I don't think he's going to get to that ball.
No. I think he's, I would.
Well, he's Josh Willingham in left.
I would rate him as, I was just going to say Josh Willingham, except when the ball's on the ground. He can maybe bend over and stop it. You know, Josh's biggest problem wasn't the ball in the air. It was the ball on the ground.
Yes, he had a tough
time. He couldn't bend over.
Right.
Cave got the ball problem with the ball on the ground because he dives at it when it's 20 feet away from him. But you know what? He's a pretty good right fielder.
Cave.
As long as he can keep out of center when he has to make decisions. He's made some good plays in right field. But anyway, they're going in, and I got to say, Whitey's four games. If they could get two, you got to be happy because the Whiteys are good.
Yeah, they are.
The Twins have, what, Brios, Dobnik, to be announced, a.k.a. Matt Whistler, and then, I guess Odorizzi.
Oh, they are going to throw him.
It looks like Odorizzi. Boy, what a sad year. This guy, he's a really good guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if he hadn't taken the Twins 17.
Oh, he would have got.
He would have got 4 for $60.
Sure.
He would have gotten four for 60.
Well, Gibson got $30 million.
Yeah, he would have got, by the way, Gibby, not good, six-something ERA. But he would have gotten 4 for $60. Now he gets the 17. Then he gets the 60-game season, so that 17 is whatever it is. Then he's hurt the first time. You know, then he can't start the season, right? Because he's got a, back, elbow? I can't remember what it was. And then he comes back and gets hit in the chest with a line drive and he's got to miss another 2 weeks. How many? He's got like three starts, right?
I think that sounds about right, yeah.
So, and it's not, you got to pitch him, I guess, and hope that you can get him in shape to pitch. But this is a hard, you got 12 games left.
Right.
And you're trying to finish second. You got to finish. Actually, you're trying to finish fourth. You're trying to be the best second place team. That's what you're trying to be. Don't catch the White Sox, because then you get to play a 3-game series at home.
Oh,
against
sure.
The fifth place
Good point.
Team.
Good point.
Against whoever finishes fifth. But if you fit it, you got to go on. And they've been so much better at home this year than road. It was the opposite last year, but. You know, there's no home field, there's no home fan advantage, but they
you got
like,
your own nap room.
Yes, you get your own nap room, you're comfortable,
mm-hmm.
you feel better about not getting, you know, the virus, because you're into your own environment. I think that, I think it's important for them to try to get the second wild card, and they got to get in the top four so they get to play home. They're still fighting, by the way. The players don't want to go into a bubble for the playoffs.
For the postseason?
For the postseason, you know, because the original plan is 8 series, 3 gamers, all in the stadium of the highest seed.
Okay.
You know? So, in other words, if the Twins finish fourth, they play 3 games at Target Field against whoever.
Okay.
If they finish fifth, they play 3 games at very good chance Yankee Stadium.
Oh, God.
The second
Could
best.
Could you even imagine?
The second best.
We can't even avoid the Yankees in a pandemic.
If the Yankees get a better record than them and end up, well, there's a damn good chance that the Yankees are now, they're still behind Toronto for second place. But if they catch Toronto and finish second, there's a damn good chance they're going to be fourth or fifth, and the Twins are going to be fourth or fifth. So. Because the second place team in the West is going to be like way out of it, so it's between the East and the Central for who's going to have the best.
Well, wouldn't record. The second place team be Houston out of the West?
Yeah, but they're under 500.
Are they really? Yeah. I guess I hadn't checked.
They're a game or two under 500.
I didn't know they were playing.
That was great the other night, though, wasn't it? Now the Dodgers beat them bad yesterday, but it was great the other day. I actually wrote something about this as a blog, but. In 2017, the Dodgers win the first one in Dodger Stadium of the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Second one, they're ahead 3-2 in the ninth. They bring up They bring in Kenley, who hasn't given anybody a sniff for about 4 months, right?
Yep.
And Gonzalez hits the game-tying home run to tie it up 3-3.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have a buzzer on, and there's no garbage can in Dodger Stadium, right? So we don't know if he knew what was coming or not. Maybe they had some messages. But he ties the game, and then Houston wins it in, 7-6 in 11 innings or something?
Something like that.
They win it. So it's now, otherwise they're down 2-0 and the Dodgers win that World Series. I've had people have called that the biggest home run in Houston history. Anyway, so Saturday, the Houston is back in Dodger Stadium for the first time since Game 7 of the 17 World Series. Haven't been there because American League team. You know?
Right.
And they're going to have these planes flying over with signs about the cheating Astros and all this stuff. And the Dodgers are going to get their revenge and blah, blah, blah. And the planes are grounded because of the smoke. Because it's at night because of all the,
I didn't even think of that.
The West is burning down. And then the Dodgers are winning 5-1 going into the ninth. And Kenley comes in, doesn't get an out, gives up 5 runs, and Houston beats him 7-5.
Unbelievable.
And by the way, Marwin was 7-43 in that postseason when he hit that home run. Meanwhile, in Target Field, Marwin is, 2-24 in September, and he hits the home run to start the Twins' comeback, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Starts the Twins' comeback. He hits a 2-run homer to start the Twins' comeback. And a game started by Rich Hill, who started the game where he hit the...
Wow, I didn't even think of that.
He hit the home run. And Kenta Maeda, the night before...
was with the Dodgers.
...pitched relief after Rich Hill in that game.
Wow.
So I did a... It's mystical. Baseball, it's all intertwined.
It's a funny game, isn't it?
It's all intertwined in this big circle. It's like your town ball.
Yes.
It's all intertwined, It's everything is...
Except ours is, we had beers with that guy at that bar after that game.
That is true. But and it's important right now for Marwin to have come out of his coma since he's got to be your second baseman for at least another week,
No kidding, yeah.
He's not bad at second.
No.
Although it's hard to tell now because with all the shifts and stuff.
Well, that's just it. Who was I talking to about this the other day? But I said, he can't get to that ball. And I said, it doesn't matter.
No.
They hit it right to, range is a thing of the past now.
Oh, God, yes. I watched virtually every inning of the Twins Friday, Saturday. I was at the game Sunday not Friday, I guess, but it occurred to me once again how many balls that were base hits for 110 or 15 years are now outs.
Well,
it's unbelievable. I still get this thought in my head. That's a hit. There's a guy standing there,
Well, no player, and I think you and I talked about this on the radio, but no player suffered more than Joe.
No.
Maurer.
Oh, God, no. No, Maurer is, Maurer was the ball up the middle at the Dome.
Yeah. He'd have 100 of those a year.
The three hop single. He would have 100, but he finished his career with 200 of them,
Yeah.
The four hopper that was hit hard past the pitcher, and right there, and they're standing there. Plus, you throw in the left fielder playing on the line and the right fielder and the center fielder. They give them a huge gap in the left center field. But there's a lot of them. I tell you, it's hard being a left-handed hitter. Because remember when they first started shifting, though? It was basically for left-handed hitters. Now they shift like everybody.
Yeah.
They were afraid to shift against right-handed hitters because they thought they were shifting out of making the double play,
Mm-hmm.
Now they don't care. The second baseman runs over and covers the bag, running in from the east instead of the west.
I just, that's the one thing that drives me
from
nuts.
From the north instead of the south.
Pat, I get just furious every time I see that if there's a guy on first and there's less than two outs and the big shift for the left-handed bat. Bunt, you've got a free base hit.
You know who did that yesterday?
Eddie
the genius.
Yes.
Eddie the genius.
But why does
always
that?
Always thinking.
You know what he is? He's a heady player.
Yes, he is.
But that's a, I stand there and I go, what are you, you've got a free base hit. But no, instead you're going to strike out on five pitches or
I mean,
whatever.
If you're Nelson Cruz or somebody, you can't, you know, you can't bunt. You've never bunted in your life. If you don't have a chance to bunt, don't bunt. But if you're Eddie, you got to have it with his hands. Yeah. You got to take the bunt. But it is incredible how many hits get taken away.
Oh, yeah.
It's I can't remember who hit the ball yesterday. Line drive, 10 feet to the right of second base.
Yep.
And which would have landed on the outfield grass, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guy out there just... Guy, I think it was for the Twins, just reaches up and grabs it. You know, smoked it there, and Polanco was standing there. Just, boop, okay, thank you.
Speaking of line drives, how about the home run that your guy, Willian Zastadillo, hit?
Oh, I missed it. I missed it.
I think some... Was it
a low hanger?
MLB Network had it. It's the... lowest home run in however many years, for this year for sure. But I forget since when. I forget the since part. But it, Pat, I don't think it peaked above 15 feet.
Really?
Oh, it was just a missile.
And it didn't.
And he kind of went down and golfed it, and his helmet almost fell off.
Now,
but it just kept going.
Hopefully, when you get to the playoffs, you're going to go with only 13 pitchers and 15 players, so he can stick around. But
Does he start at catcher in game one?
No, God, no. The Jeffers, they love Jeffers.
Okay.
And Garver will be back, I think, this week.
Really?
But he'll be your two catcher. But the kid's going to be your number one catcher, Jeffers.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, you can strike him out and he's going to hit 180, but he gets the fat part of the bat on the ball.
It goes
he
away.
Is strong. Yep. I think he's hit three home runs, hasn't he?
So, yeah.
And that one he hit killed a few sparrows out in center field. The first one he hit was, 437 or something?
He did hit that one pretty
and
good.
And you get to see, I think you're seeing a little more confident of a player, but you also see why they loved him, because he can throw and he's very good defensively. And, he was...
How is his framing? Is he a good framer?
They say he's a good framer.
Okay.
They say, boy, we had there was a guy behind the plate the other day, though, Manny Gonzalez. I was astounded how few he missed. It was great.
Oh,
he
really?
It was great. Yeah. I mean, you look at it, boy, you don't say that very often. But it is funny. Yesterday, who'd they have behind the plate? What's his name?
Home plate umpire yesterday?
I can't remember.
Yeah, I can look it up.
I can't remember what his name was. He's been around, so. And they called, Lamont Wade walked twice on ball. Needed. It took two ball fours to get a walk, right?
This was yesterday, you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Whoever, the ESPN box score doesn't have it. You got to go to MLB. They don't put the umpires.
Oh, they don't. You're right.
No. I don't care who it was.
All right. Anyway.
Joe Drape. No, Drape. 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 Okay. Drape, I think. But when he called, the ball was on the batter's box chalk line.
According to Baseball Reference, it's James Hoey.
Oh, that's right.
Is that him?
Okay. Excuse me. James Hoey. Excuse me.
Okay.
And you could hear the Twins dugout. He looked over there. It's fun to hear the yelp.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't like one voice. It was like eight guys going, oh,
come on. Speaking of that, I know you were at Target Field, but yesterday Fox had, the telecast.
Yeah.
And they had the beep going.
Oh, really?
Because they had the field mic, and there were a few times.
So what, do they have enough of a delay to beep it?
Apparently, because I remember, I think it was after Dalvin Cook scored the touchdown on the opening drive, and I'm sitting there watching it with the kid, and you just hear a beep, and William looks at me, he's like, what was that, Dad? I go, well,
somebody was happy.
Somebody must have said a bad word, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. It was, they should have had, though, Let's see. We're looking for a little reality with the sound, right?
Oh, I love it, though.
They should have had booze, shouldn't have they? And as the Vikings left the field in the first half,
I said they should turn it up to 100 and just boo the hell out of them. Oh.
There's some games from the past where you could have gotten tapes of booze. Now that would have been a good sense of humor.
I think so.
I don't think teams have a sense of humor,
especially in that
stuff.
League. No, especially in that league.
I gotta tell you.
Here we go.
I'm not gonna make a big deal out of this, and we have the advantage here of a small audience. So I clicked over to the mighty sports juggernaut in this town.
Okay.
There's no doubt it's an amazingly successful operation. You once worked there.
Yes, I did.
Yes. And I heard the morning host play-by-play guy, and he was...
Was his dauber down a bit?
He was in his sugar-coating best and talking about somehow comparing something that occurred and getting the young guys ready with coaching a fifth-grade football team. And, this reach out to the fans when you're dealing with young players, you got to expect a few roadblocks but a kid who was having a hard time understanding, a fifth grader.
Sure.
We're talking about Cameron Dantzler here, a 22-year-old alleged superstar. We're not talking about a fifth grader, dummy. But anyway, that's this town has turned into such a bunch of bootlickers. It drives me nuts. They should be savaged after yesterday. Savaged.
You
gave up 524 yards. You had the ball 18 minutes. They should be savaged. Everybody. Everybody in town commenting on them should say, Zim's job is on the line. Forget the...
three-year extension?
Forget the three-year extension. This was a disaster. There's only 16 of these things. They all have to be treated like a crisis.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
They're all a crisis. And when they stink, you got to be over the top. Everybody in town, in the media, full-scale, 100% ridicule, and not trying to soothe the fans.
So you don't think that this would have taken place in, let's say, New York after the Jets got absolutely demolished by Buffalo yesterday?
I don't think it would have taken place on the highly rated Ride with Ricey.
No, I can't.
We would have had to have a half hour show prep working on our ridicule. Right? Anyway,
yes.
Anyway, come on. Let's hold them up to a standard here, whether there's people or not. 524 yards. And by the way, from what I understand, this speedy receiver who caught two long ones, if he hadn't dropped two wide open ones, we're over 600, right?
Easily, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, easily. He's wide open. I read Chip's column, and I didn't see it. He said, he had two wide open drops.
Well, he missed one.
Which Demoski told me was his problem, that he drops the ball.
He dropped one doing a crossing route right in the flat.
Really?
And Rogers stared at him like, that happens again, you're going to be over there.
Apparently, Rogers and LaFleur get along pretty well.
Well, they kept panning to the kid they drafted in the first round, and he didn't dress. The Love kid that they picked, the Packers picked in the first round.
Yeah, he was third stringer.
And he kept looking around like, what am I doing? Why did they draft me? And what am I doing here?
And then their third rounder, or their second rounder, is the running back who didn't play either, right?
No.
A.J.
Mm-hmm.
Dillon?
Nope.
Did he get on the field?
Maybe he might have late after
but
it got out of hand.
But their number two, I mean, this isn't exactly a team that needs a running back. Aaron Jones is a beast.
Yeah,
and
he's
then
good.
Then the backup, Jamal Williams or whatever his name. My other observation for football here on the baseball show is it was nice of Andy Reid to get himself another bolt of lightning. God almighty.
Yeah.
You know, if anybody, you got Patrick Mahomes.
It's tough
and
to
then
beat.
You try to get the six fastest guys that you can possibly find who are actual football players.
Yes.
And we don't care if they're 5'7 or 6'3.
Right.
Man alive. Oof.
The best part about that game, though, was I tweeted this out during the game. Andy Reid needs a defrost mechanism for his face covering because it just kept clouding up and he couldn't see.
Well, can you imagine being a coach if you got to wear glasses? Because, you know, I got to, you know, at the Target Field when I'm there, my glasses are always fogged up.
Well, and McVay last night, he was basically wearing it as a chin strap.
I see the. I heard that the NFL sent out an edict today. You have to wear the. They didn't mention him, but you cannot use them as chin straps. You have to use.
Oh, that's 100% geared towards McVay then. Because he never won. I mean, McCarthy had it on the whole time, but they'd panned McVay.
He loses, right? McCarthy loses his opener.
Yep. The Rams held on.
Hey, go Lions! Way to go, baby.
God. How about that poor kid? He gets hit in the chest with a game-winning touchdown by Stafford, and it goes right through his hands.
Number one draft pick, too, right?
They drafted the cornerback from Ohio State in the first round, but he was a high second-round pick.
Yeah. Well, but they were up 21, right? Or were they up?
No, 17. I think they're up 17 points
against Trubisky. By the way, unbelievable. Anywho. Oh well. Big week in Chicago here for the Fighting Twinks. 4 with the Mighty Whiteys, 3 with the Cubs, who have really good starting pitching. And, you know, you come home 3-4 from there, and you only got 5 left.
That's right.
Go for that number one wild card spot and get to play 3 games at home. And, you know, Pineda, Maeda, game 1, Barrios, game 2. Pineda game three. You got a chance.
So. With Odorizzi as a long guy?
Odorizzi and Dobnik and, you know.
Hill?
Hill and, yeah. I don't know if you want to, I don't know what you do with Hill.
He becomes a lefty specialist.
I got a hunch that you got to warm him up for about 12 minutes, though, don't you think?
Well, that's
true. You can't just get him up and have him throw 4 pitches.
If Rocco wants to pick the brain of the first base coach of the Faribault Lakers, I say, yeah, we're going to hang on to Rich Hill for the bullpen. You know, just
I don't think
if we need him. If
I don't
we
think
him.
He'll get a start.
No, I don't think he should.
Anyway. All right. We shall return next week. But first, here's a word from Mr. Money Talk.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.